Well, this has been a wonderful worship service. And Rob, you have done so well in selecting these hymns and choruses. Thank you. The Lord has been good to me this week. I did not think about this until I sat back down after reading the scripture. I have had laryngitis the past days and have been very sick and have basically all but been in bed for these last days. After I preached Wednesday night, I went home and came down with something. And God has been gracious to me to make me well. And this is the first time that I've really been able to speak in these last days. And so I really believe that what I have to say today is of great importance to your spiritual life. In other words, that God has made me strong and that God has raised me up in order to bring this message to your heart. I have given thought over these days as I've had a lot of time to meditate and to contemplate really what is the message that would most directly affect the life of our church, both corporately and individually. And as I have given thought to this, my heart has been drawn, I believe, by the Holy Spirit to Ephesians chapter 6. And so I want you to take God's Word and be turning to Ephesians chapter 6. And today I want to speak to you on the subject of spiritual warfare. I really believe that we as believers and we as a church find ourselves in the midst of great spiritual warfare. I would say that would be true no matter what the circumstances would be, that we would always be in a state of spiritual warfare. But I think that as we find ourselves in Mobile, Alabama, and that as we find ourselves in this juncture in the life of our fellowship together, I think that we have come through many deep waters of spiritual warfare. And that warfare continues, and I want to define this for you from the Word of God, that we might be fortified in our faith and that we might stand strong. I want to begin by saying that I think Mobile is a place marked by great darkness. I think that this is a town of unusual spiritual darkness. I know when I first came to Mobile some 8 years ago, a pastor of one of the largest churches here in town called me and asked if he could take me to lunch, which I did, and went with him, and he gave his testimony to me of coming to Mobile. And he shared that from the moment that he said yes to his pulpit committee and to the congregation that he pastors in this town, from that very moment, he said it was as if a very dark cloud hovered over his life. And that from that moment on, even while he was still up in the north before he moved down here, that he could no longer sleep. And from that moment, he said, I felt as if I entered into a very real and deep spiritual warfare in coming to this city. There are many strongholds in this city. This is where Mardi Gras was birthed and conceived. There continues to be much revelry and much pagan idolatry that is deeply rooted in the fabric of this community and in the fabric of this city. And it's more than just a little party. It is rooted in black magic. It is rooted deeply in false religion. Now, this is also a Roman Catholic town. I thought when I first came that this was more the buckle of the Bible Belt, like other towns in the Deep South, that this would be a Baptist stronghold and that other denominations and other religions would be in a secondary role. And it was not until I came here that I discovered that this is very much a Roman Catholic town. And that influence is very pervasive in our city and surrounding area. It is like a blanket that covers our area. And with that, the religious superstition that accompanies Roman Catholicism that breeds its own idolatry. This is a difficult place to live. At one time in the city, any Protestant church was outlawed from being able to gather and worship in this town. And it was not until after World War II that someone who was Protestant or a non-Catholic could hold public office. It has been a deep stronghold for the religious superstition of Roman Catholicism. And on top of that, this is a town that is also very religious, but lost. And there has been a form of godliness that has denied the power thereof. As people have been going through just empty motions of going to church and hearing trite little sermons that have not deeply penetrated into their soul, there has not been an unfolding of the full counsel of God in this town. And as you think back over the years and as you look around the churches in this town, there have been very few pulpits that have ever been marked by verse-by-verse Bible teaching that was theologically rich and deeply rooted and grounded in the Word of God. They have been churches that have been built upon a social facade, and churches that have been rooted in just religiosity. And so it is in this context that we find ourselves as we live in Mobile, Alabama. This is not the buckle of the Bible Belt. This is not a place that is easy in which to be a believer in Christ. And I think that there is extraordinary spiritual warfare that goes on in this town. Added to that, you have made a choice to be a part of a fellowship that is rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And in that sense, we have become the target of the devil. The devil is very crafty, and he is very cunning, but he is also very aggressive and very powerful. And I believe that the artillery of hell is uniquely leveled against us to bring this to a halt and to bring this to a stop before it can establish a beachhead for the truth in this town and in this city. And so in a very real way, we are in a struggle. We are in a spiritual battle, if you will, for the souls of men. And even our own soul is drawn into this battle. Now, I must tell you, as Paul said, it is the good fight. We fight the good fight. It is a hill worth dying on. It is a fight worth fighting. And God forbid that we should ever sound retreat and sound retreat and just look for an easy place to slide into a back pew and just let everything go on uninterrupted in this community and in this town. I believe that in the establishment of this church, we are truly a lighthouse in this city, a necessary lighthouse that has been raised up by Almighty God. But in becoming a lighthouse, we are also, I think, a lightning rod, and we are a target. And it will not be easy, even for you, as you have friendships and relationships in this community, to actually be able to say to others where it is you come to worship and where you come to church. This is not the convenient place. This is not the easy place. This is the front lines of the army of God. This is the front lines as we hold the torch of truth. And as we advance for the cause of Christ to stake out turf and ground for His kingdom. And so for that reason, I feel that we would do well today to look at Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. My intention is to complete this, but even in sharing this introduction with you, I have gone past my time. So this may be a two-part message. And I guess one other thought that as we look at this, I'm aware that for some of you here today, to come to church in this place has meant that you have had to say no to family, and that you've had to say no to certain friends. And perhaps it's even come at a loss of popularity in certain places. I would remind you that Jesus said, "I've come not to bring peace on the earth, but to bring a sword. And I will separate a man from his father and a daughter from her mother," etc. And so there is a polarizing that is going on as the truth is being proclaimed. And there is a knocking off of the fence, people who are trying to play all ends into the middle. And there is a knocking off of a fence, those who would try to have one foot in the world and one foot just in church. That fence has been removed. And there is now a polarizing whereby each one of us must actually make a determinative choice and declare our allegiance either to the Lord Jesus Christ or to the world. Declare our loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ or just to institutionalize churchianity. And so I believe that this passage of Scripture is what we so need to hear today as we find ourselves in the midst of the circumstances in which we find ourselves. I would remind you also that as we are in spiritual warfare, Jesus has already won the victory for us. We do not wrestle for victory. We actually war from a position of victory. Christ has conquered and Christ has triumphed. And thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. I would also remind you, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And although you are infinitely weaker than Satan, Satan is infinitely weaker than our God in heaven, and He lives within you, and His resurrection power is operative in your life. We have every reason to live victorious. We have every reason to advance the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and to stake out turf for Him. And it has always been at those times in church history that those who are willing to take a stand for the Word of God and for the Son of God, they have been the hinges upon which history has turned. And so you are in a very opportune place, a place where God can use you greatly. And in this message, I want to fortify your faith. I want you to be strengthened in your walk with the Lord, that you would not have your head down, and that you would not be whimpering or mumbling to your friends or to family about where your loyalty lies, that you would hold your head up high and that you would be looking up into the heavens where your Savior is at the right hand of God, and as He is building His church here upon this earth, that you would take your stand upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ here in this place. May we never sound retreat. May we only sound the charge and advance with the gospel of Jesus Christ in this place. The battle belongs to the Lord. And I would remind you this, He is undefeated. He has never once lost a battle. Never once. He has never one time ever lost a battle of which He has become a part and where He fills the lives and the souls of those who are a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when they try to do God's work in their own strength and in their own might and in their own genius, they suffer defeat every time. But when we do God's work in God's strength and in God's power and advance the gospel of Jesus Christ, every single time there is victory. God is undefeated. No one can defeat the Lord. And so in this place, may God be established in our hearts for who He truly is. He is greater than all. We have sung, "How great Thou art." Well, my friend, that does not apply simply to heaven one day. It applies to earth today. It applies to your life today. How great is the Lord in your life? Now, having said that, I want us to look beginning in verse 10. And I want to read the first several verses
and remind you of these truths that you already know. Beginning in verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm, stand firm. And then he gives us the description of the full armor of God. As we look at this passage, I want to give you the three main headings that will overview verses 10 through 17. I want you to see the attack in verses 10 and 11. And then we will consider the adversary in verse 12. And then finally the armor in verses 13 through 17. Let's begin by looking at the attack. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, put on the full armor of God. If one thing is clear about this passage is that we live in a state of spiritual warfare. You may say, well, Pastor, I don't want to be in spiritual warfare. Well, listen, I want to tell you, the day you walked through the narrow gate that entered the kingdom of heaven, you were drafted into God's army. And you are in it, whether you like it or not. And Jesus said, He that is not with me is against me. And there is no neutral ground in this spiritual warfare. You are either with the Lord Jesus Christ or you are against the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no strip of middle ground and neutrality with which we may stand in the middle. And so in verses 10 and 11, Paul gives two imperatives. And by two imperatives, I mean two commands. He commands us to do two things. One is in verse 10, the second is in verse 11, and this is God's action plan for you today. Sometimes when I'm at the end of a meeting and there will be several men around the table and we will have talked through so many things, and rather than just dismiss the meeting and it just be discussion, we will say, well, what are the action steps from this meeting? Well, the action steps in these verses are clearly seen. In verse 10, be strong. And in verse 11, put on the full armor of God. As you leave this meeting today, this is what God not only expects of you, this is what God commands you to do. He is our commander-in-chief. He is the king of the hosts of heaven. And we are soldiers in His army. And He tells us two things. The first is in verse 10. He says, be strong. Be strong. That's His word for us. We are to be strong in our faith, strong in our convictions, strong in our witness, strong in our purpose, strong in our resolve, strong in our mission, without any wavering. The Christian cause is never advanced by mamby-pamby believers. The Christian gospel is only advanced and the church is only built where people are strong in the Lord. You cannot be weak in any of these areas and your life be any good for God. In fact, you're just in the way. I remember one day when I was at seminary and Howard Hendricks stood in the pulpit and he said, I have wanted to say this for so many years. And I thought, what is he about to say? And he said, I have always wanted to just draw a line down the center of this chapel and say, everyone who wants to be a part of the good fight of the gospel of Jesus Christ, get on this side of the line. And will the rest of you go home to mama? You're just in the way in class. You're just in the way in the snack room. You're in the way in the library. In fact, you're affecting the morale of the true soldiers who are here to do God's business and to do God's work. And if I could draw that same line through this fellowship today, and I would hope that everyone would be on this side of the line, that I will be strong in the Lord. But in a sense, everyone else go home to mama. And we'll send you the CD and you can just listen to it. This is a place. The church is not a cruise liner. It is not a luxury liner where we have entertainment on board. We are a battleship. We are a warship. And we are sailing through choppy seas to the destination that the Lord is sending us. So he says, be strong, be courageous, be bold, anchor yourself down in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. He's not saying here in being strong that you're to pull yourself up by your own bootstrap and that you are to do this in your own strength. If you try to live the Christian life in your own strength, you will be defeated before you can walk out the door of your house. We must be strong, notice, in the Lord. This signifies the source of our spiritual power. It is a power that comes exclusively from the Lord who dwells within us. But it is not automatic. We have a responsibility, right? That's why he tells us with this imperative, be strong in the Lord. If I could do it for you, I would. I would want you to all be strong in the Lord. But I cannot do that for you. The Lord will not do that for you. This is your responsibility, a choice that you must make to stop being pushed around and finally, once and for all, be strong in the Lord. This is the choice you must make. Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, apart from me, you can do nothing. And certainly at the head of that list is to fight the good fight and be involved in spiritual warfare. But Scripture in Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, Paul said to Timothy, my son, be strong in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we must be, strong in the strength of His might. Now you think about His might. This isn't even a fair fight. The strength of His might? The God who spoke everything out of nothing? The God who hung the sun in His place and all that energy came from the Lord? The God who parted the Red Sea? The God who stopped the Jordan River? The God who brought the walls of Jericho down? The God who delivered Daniel out of the lion's den? Our God of might and miracle, He says, you be strong in His strength and in His might. There is more than enough power in the Lord for you to stand strong and to live victoriously in the Lord Jesus Christ than you could ever begin to tap into. It would be like going to New York City and they have that huge Edison electrical company that provides all of the Eastern Seaboard and New York City, that vast metropolis, with its electrical power, and for no lights to be on and nothing to be used, do you think there would be enough electricity to run your little alarm clock? The entire Edison Electrical Company, well, of course. And there's enough power to run everyone's alarm clock and everything else. And so it is with the power of God in your life. So that is the first imperative. Be strong in the Lord. And I want to say to you young students who are here, be strong in the Lord. You don't have to go with the flow. You don't have to be like everybody else. You drop anchor and stand firm for the Lord and be strong with the Lord. And I say that to all the adults who are here today. Some of you have really been pushed around and have been intimidated way too long. You be strong in the Lord. Now second, the second imperative is found in verse 11. It's not enough to be strong and to stand there naked. It's not enough to be powerful and stand there in your birthday suit. You've got to both be strong and to be clad in the full armor of God. And when both are true, that is a powerful dynamic. Now, notice what he says in verse 11. Put on the full armor of God. Again, this is your responsibility. Have you come to church today with the full armor of God on? If not, you've come undressed. It is your responsibility. It is not automatic. And today, either your armor is on or it is not on. And those are the only two options. And your armor needs to be on today. And if your armor is on and you are strong in the Lord, you are ready for battle. But if your armor is not on, you will be whipped. And you will go home with your head between your tail and go home whimpering because the devil can outmaneuver you and overpower you every single time. Notice he says in verse 11, put on the full armor of God. Emphasis on the word full. It's not enough to have some of the pieces on. And as we will look at the list of the full armor of God, it's not a multiple choice question where you can say, I'll have this one and that one, and maybe one day I'll put this other one on in my life. No. If we are to stand firm in the evil day, we must be completely clad. And one reason is because the devil is so shrewd. And at the point where you are exposed and do not have the armor on, that is the very place that he will come against you. He is smart. He is far more brilliant than you are today. He was created with unusual genius as the highest of the angelic order. And he knows where you're defenseless. And he knows where you're vulnerable and where you're exposed. And he is not going to waste his threats in areas where you have the full armor of God on. But where you have failed to put certain pieces on, it will be at that place that he will penetrate and come against your life. So no matter where you go and what you do, you must have on the full armor of God. And he tells us why in verse 11. Why this is so critical and crucial. It is non-negotiable. So that, and that introduces now the reason. So that, what follows now is the result. So that you will be able to stand. Would you notice you must be enabled to stand? Again, you cannot be strong in your own strength, but only in the Lord. You must be empowered and be enabled and be equipped by the Lord Himself so that you will be able, now notice this, to stand firm. It's a Greek word, histemi. And when used in a military sense, it carries the idea of holding a critical position while under attack. Holding a critical strategic position while under attack. You cannot stand firm without the full armor of God. And with anything less than the full armor of God, you will be living in retreat and in defeat. But positively speaking, if you will put on the full armor of God, you will be able to stand firm, listen to this, against any temptation, against any evil device that would be raised up against you. You would be able to stand firm against any opposition that would be thrust your way. There are no exceptions in verse 11. If you will put on the full armor of God, even if hell itself rises up against you, you will be fortified and be able to stand firm. It matters not how hostile your work environment or your school environment or your family environment or whatever the force may be, you are enabled to stand firm. And he goes on to say in verse 11, against the schemes of the devil. This word schemes is a very interesting word. It's a Greek word, and as I pronounce it, see if you recognize the English word that has been drawn from this Greek word. Methodia. Method. methodical. What this is saying, the schemes of the devil, Satan is not just shooting his rifle up in the air hoping to hit somebody. He is taking dead aim. And he is very methodical. And he has schemes and devices. The King James says the wiles of the devil. And it speaks of his crafty methods, his clever ruses, his deadly strategy, his deceptive means. Here are some synonyms: craftiness, cunning, deception. He is very well ordered. He knows exactly what he's doing. Now you think about this. When he was Lucifer, son of the morning in heaven, and he rose up against God, and iniquity was found in his own heart. Let me tell you how good he is. He convinced a third of the angels that were living in the very presence of God and were a part of the Hallelujah Chorus to forsake Almighty God while standing in the very presence of God and come align themselves with Him in His coup and conspiracy to overthrow the throne of God. That's how good He is. He can sell ice cubes to Eskimos. And His schemes will turn you inside out. And how gullible even Christians are. And how easily duped even believers are who have so little discernment and cannot see with spiritual eyes what is going on. And they are met with a little resistance by Satan and they begin to whimper and go, this must not be God's will for my life. When in reality you are in the center of God's will and you just met the devil. And all the more reason to stand firm and to be strong and put on the full armor of God. It's a good pulpit, Michael. Thank you. The next hurricane that comes to Mobile, I'm hiding in this pulpit. I'm telling you, this thing will not go down. When I was first in the ministry in Little Rock, they had a pulpit and literally it was held up by, there was a pencil, like one of these old pencils you fill out for the membership thing when the things pass by, and it was stuck in there and it held this thing up. And I was making a point and I was almost like two steps back and just like advanced to the pulpit and did this karate chop of a gesture and hit that thing and the whole pulpit collapsed. Everybody was just like in shock. But you need to be strong like this pulpit. But stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Let me tell you, does he have an arsenal or what? It only took him about 15 seconds with Eve to turn her inside out. He didn't even have to talk to Adam. I mean, he just like ran Adam's life through Eve. He was brilliant. Just took a couple questions and she came tumbling down. She didn't even have a sin nature. She was living in a perfect world. All he had to say, you know, has God really said? The schemes of the devil. Mixing error with just enough truth to make his lies plausible. Masquerading as an angel of light. Luring, baiting, ambushing, deceiving, confusing, disorienting, defiling, defrauding, deluding, dividing, defeating. This is the work of the devil. No wonder the Bible says, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain who build it. In your own strength, you are no match for the devil. The devil just laughs at you. But in the strength of the Lord, you are invincible. Did you hear that? You are invincible in the strength of the Lord. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Hear it again. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. We never go into a skirmish on the short end of the stick. If we are standing strong in the Lord. That's the attack. And I want you to know there are only two sides in this world. There is the Lord's side, and there is the devil's side, and there isn't even another side. And when you come to stand with the Lord, you will now be in the crosshairs of the devil as he would seek to bring you down. Now, second. Well, let me just introduce it, and then we'll stop. The adversary. And let me just introduce you to the adversary, and we will pick it up here next time. Verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We war not with people. Now, people will be the pawns of the devil. And even when Peter spoke, Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan." But our real battle is not with other people. There is something far more sinister and far more devilish and far more dark that lies behind the people who are merely the instruments, the puppets, in the hand of Satan to bring about his destruction. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against. And I would have you notice in this verse 12, five times the word against is found. It's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces, against the spiritual forces. That is your Christian life. There is much that is against you. You will be like a salmon fighting your way upstream. You will always be going against the current and the tide of this world. And that's just the way it is. Now, some Christians get tired and some Christians just give up and they just let go and they just drift downstream according to the course of this world. But if you're going to be a world changer, if your home is going to be what God wants it to be, if your family, if your business, if your integrity, if your worship, if your lifestyle is going to be what God wants it to be, then you must understand that you will be going against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces, and against the spiritual forces. That's the way it is. It's Christianity 101. Now, I want to remind you, this is a winnable war. So I don't want us to leave here today and think, well, this is horrible. Let me tell you, it's better to be in a war and come out victorious than to try to have a peace treaty with the enemy. It is better to launch into the ruckus and into the conflict and to see the battle won and to return victorious than to have never fought at all. Martin Luther says, "The loyalty of the soldier is always marked at that place where the battle is the greatest." In fact, I Xeroxed this yesterday and put it in my notebook. Luther said, "If I profess with the loudest voice and the clearest exposition every portion of the Word of God except precisely that little point which the world and the devil are at that point attacking." They're attacking, but Luther says, "I'm not attacking." He says, "I am not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing Christ. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is tested. To be steady in all the battlefields beside is mere flight and disgrace if the soldier flinches at one point. Don't you be flinching. Don't you be blinking. You be standing firm and standing strong. And you put on the full armor of God. And you will come through victorious every single time. Next week, we're going to pick it up here at verse 12. And I want to talk about what are these rulers? What are these powers? What are these world forces of darkness? What are these spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places? Of what does Paul refer? And what we will discover is a very organized dark kingdom with different layers and different strategies in a massive organizational chart where every demon fits in a very precise place to come against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and to come against your faith. I want to conclude by saying this. I've already said it, but may God give you ears to hear it. When Adam sinned, he brought the whole human race into guilt, separation from God, and under the condemnation of God. And there is only one way out for you to escape the just wrath of God upon your sin. God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world, which is a battlefield. And that cross upon which He suffered and bled and died is the only means of victory to get out of here alive. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Me. Surely you've heard this before. But today, may God open your ears to truly hear what it is I'm saying to you. And may God open your eyes to see your need to be rescued and be delivered and to be saved from the wrath of God that is surely to come. All the chips are on the table. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, yet loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And there are those here today who are gambling their souls into the pit of hell. And there is being offered to you this day, at this moment, the forgiveness of God, the pardon of God, the victory of God over your sin and over Satan and over the wages of your sin. May God help you to see this day. And that through Christ you have victory. And if you will believe upon Jesus Christ, by that I mean to repent of your sin, to be sorry for your sin, and to turn away from your self-centered life that you've been living all of these years. And to turn to God, and to turn to Christ, and to surrender your life to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, who paid the ultimate price upon that cross for sin. And today, if you have never believed upon Christ, I invite you, I call you, from this side of the battlefield to your side of the battlefield, forsake the kingdom of darkness, forsake captivity to Satan, forsake your sin, come into the kingdom of God, come into the kingdom of heaven. There is a narrow gate through which you may enter. You must leave behind a life of self-sufficiency and self-righteousness. You must strip down and leave the world behind and come through that narrow gate and humble yourself like a little child and bow the knee to King Jesus. And if you will not do that, you'll be sent back. Only those who come with absolute loyalty and allegiance to the One who has won the victory will merit eternal salvation and receive it. So today I invite you to leave the kingdom of darkness. There are those here today who are in the kingdom of darkness. And I invite you to come into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May He open your ears. May He open your eyes. May He open your heart this day. And may you be rescued. And may you escape the coming final condemnation while there is time today. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. If you'll give your life to Christ, I have never, ever heard anyone say this, and I finish. I'm so sorry I gave my life to the Lord. I wish I had just hung on to my sin a little bit longer. I just wasted my life giving it to Christ. I've never once heard that. Everyone who has ever been saved in one way or another has said, I wish I had given my life to Christ earlier. The burden of sin is already removed. The peace that surpasses all comprehension has already come into my soul and my life before they can even leave my office. If you give your life to Christ, I promise you, it will be the ultimate transaction in your life that will bring God's blessing, God's pardon, and God's favor. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved this day. Say yes to the Lord Jesus. Give your life to Him, and you may be saved. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You that You're an undefeated God, that You're mighty.